Okay, back to our text this evening, Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, verse 1. Behold my servant. God says, my servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, I uphold. He's my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. God is well pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He did preach publicly. I'll tell you what that means there in just a moment. Verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break. He's a tender-hearted Savior. A smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment, salvation in truth, to truth. Verse 4. Verse 4 is one of my favorite verses in the book of Isaiah, and probably one of my top 10 in all the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the elect servant of God, the one that God upholds with his power, the one he has anointed with his spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ shall not fail. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, defeated, till he has set judgment in the earth, in the isles, the far distant places, not only in Jerusalem, but our Lord said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, shall wait for his law, or wait for his word, wait for his truth. So I'm entitling the message from the words that are found in verse 4. The Lord Jesus Christ shall not fail. He can't. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot fail in any aspect of his redeeming work or in the salvation of sinners, because as God, our Savior, we know that God cannot fail. In everything that our God undertakes, write these words in bold letters over it, successful. Our Savior is the successful Savior. Our Savior is the victorious Savior. Our Savior is the complete Savior, doing all the Father's will in all aspects of God's eternal purpose. And I mean by that his eternal decrees, his determination, his declaration shall be accomplished. It shall be done. Done, well done. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Hold your place there and turn just a few pages to Isaiah 46. Look at verse 9. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient time to things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I've spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I purposed it, I will also do it. Our God cannot fail in everything that he undertakes for us. Now, let's go back to verse 1, and we'll work our way down to verse 4 there. The Lord tells us here in verse 1, behold my servant. He tells us to behold the righteous servant of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ as a God-man mediator. He is my servant, God said, the one I uphold. He is my elect. He's the chosen. You know, that's the first time we read that word in Scripture is elect. And it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ being the chosen Messiah, sent of God to accomplish our salvation. He is the elect. We are chosen. We are chosen in him. That's what election's all about, being chosen in Christ Jesus. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. In Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him He is the elect. We're chosen in him, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure. According to his good pleasure, the good pleasure of his will, it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Aren't you glad that God chose to elect a people in the Lord Jesus Christ and did so from the foundation of the world? He sent the Lord Jesus Christ as a surety of the covenant, as a sacrifice of the covenant, as a savior of the covenant, and he's anointed of God. Notice what it says in verse 1. My servant, the one I uphold, the one that I delight in, and whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him. Now, as God, he needed no help, no assistance, but as a God-man mediator, turn over here to Isaiah 61. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Isaiah 61, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Messiah, was anointed in all of his office as prophet, priest, and king. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, if that verse sounds familiar, it's exactly what the Lord quotes in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and applies that again to him. To preach good tidings, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, setting the prisoners free. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He shall. God says that he shall. I will and I shall. No ifs or maybes or could be or perhaps. God speaks in absolute terms. I have put my spirit upon him, the elect, the servant, the one I delight in, and he shall bring forth salvation to sinners. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, not only to glorify God, to finish all the work the Father gave him to do, but in doing so, he came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. Now look at verse 2. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. We see the means the Lord employed to establish his church. The Lord didn't demand that the kings of the earth hear his voice, such as the Roman government. But I tell you who did hear his voice. The Lord went forth publicly preaching the gospel, and the Pharisees and the kings and the Romans would not have his word. But I tell you who did. His sheep, his people, those chosen in him. Our Lord said this in John 8, he that is of God heareth God's word. And then he said to those Pharisees, you hear them not because you're not of God. Those who are of God, they hear God's word. And of course, we know the sheep of Christ. He said, my sheep, I know them, I love them, I've chosen them, and they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. And I've given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not seek to build up an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. His ministry as a God-man mediator, as a surety of the covenant, was like no other. His ministry was not to gain the applause and recognition of men, was it? But to honor and glorify God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ did not and does not use and employ means of earthly kings to gain his goal of salvation for his elect. Our Lord said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. His sheep will hear his voice. Look at verse 3. A bruised reed, those bruised and mangled and ruined by the fall, shall he not break? A smoking or dimly lit light, smoking flax, shall he not quench? He shall bring forth judgment to truth. He saves sinners in such a way that His justice is honored and His holy law is satisfied. But notice in verse 3, the tender compassion the Lord has to His elect, to those chosen in Him. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Remember that verse over in 2 Peter 3:19, where the Lord said through Peter that He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Who's He talking about? He's talking about those elect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make your calling and election sure. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save brokenhearted sinners, to strengthen them. A bruised reed shall He not break. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He's called, we read it not too long ago, He's called the friend of sinners. Matthew chapter 11. Those who have been convicted of their sin, those who know the frailties of their flesh and the unrighteousness of our human nature, the Lord will bind up the brokenhearted. That's what He says over here. You remember from our message last, turn back to Isaiah 40 last week. The message is all flesh is grass. The word of the Lord shall stand forever. Behold your God. But look at verse 1, Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Speak to the heart. Notice on the word comfortably. Speak to the heart. Cry unto her. That is those chosen in Christ. That her warfare is accomplished. The Lord has won the victory for us, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double, double for all her sins. Fully paid. He fully paid our debt. How did He pay our debt? With His own blood. Taking our sin, bearing our sin in His own body on the tree. Those who have been convicted of their sin. You remember the psalmist said this, the Lord denied them of a broken heart. Save us such as be the contrite spirit. If God ever breaks your heart, He'll save you by His grace. Those who have been convicted of their sin, those who know the frailty of the flesh, the Lord will bind up the brokenhearted. Those who are convicted by God the Holy Spirit, He's going to comfort them with His gospel and show them that Christ is their salvation. Reading and studying through the gospels that we've done, the gospel, I mean by that, the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've never read one time of a needy sinner who came to the Lord Jesus Christ who was turned away. Not one time did any needy sinner come to the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord didn't show them mercy. Blind Bartimaeus, when he cried out for mercy, Lord, have mercy upon me, the scripture said the Lord stood still. The leper who came and worshiped the Lord and fell down before Him said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord said, I will. Be thou clean. The woman with the issue of blood, the Lord healed her. The thief on the cross, what did he cry out? Lord, remember me. And the Lord said, today, you're going to glory with me. Every broken, convicted sinner that's convicted and broken by God the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ will bind up that broken heart and show them mercy. That's why they're convicted, that they might be comforted. Now look at verse 4. Isaiah 42, verse 4. He shall not fail. He can't. Because He's God. He cannot be discouraged till He has completed all our salvation. What a glorious and comforting statement is given here to us. The Lord cannot fail. He cannot fail to accomplish all of God's purpose. In saving His elect, He cannot be frustrated. He cannot be defeated. You remember from reading Isaiah 53 where it says, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. You remember Psalm 135, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. I want us to rest upon God's promise and find sweet comfort in the sure promise of our blessed God and Savior that He shall not fail. As our substitute, He cannot fail. As our righteousness before God, He cannot fail. As our Savior, He cannot fail. He shall not fail. He cannot fail. He will not fail. He cannot be defeated. We worship an absolute, conquering, victorious, successful Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember from our study in the Revelation chapter 6, He went forth conquering and to conquer. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Him that loved us. Like the apostle says, we are more than conquerors. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now He's victorious. We can't say that about ourselves. Not in and of ourselves. For we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We're born with great failure, defeated by sin, which brought us to great weakness and total depravity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the flesh, no man can please God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The Scripture often brings to our remembrance our total lack of ability to please God or to work up a righteousness to satisfy God. You remember what He says about our righteousness? It's right here in Isaiah 64. Turn over there, Isaiah 64. But we're all, verse 6, Isaiah 64, verse 6, we're all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon Thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of Thee. For Thou hast hid Thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter. We are all the work of Thy hand. He is the potter. We are the clay. So, man in his best state, altogether vanity. Altogether vanity. The best of men are only men at best. Sinners. Sinners. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. When the Lord is pleased to teach us, all flesh is grass. It will gladden and rejoice our heart to know that God has provided for us a perfect Savior who cannot fail. Who cannot fail. Who is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. Neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Abraham said to Isaac when they went to Mount Moriah to worship. Isaac didn't know that he was going to be the sacrifice. And Abraham said, when Isaac asked, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? You remember what Abraham said? God will provide. God will provide. Only that which God provides will God accept. Not our works, not our righteousness, but Christ. Christ alone. Now, I want to consider for a moment this statement. He shall not fail. He shall not fail. Three glorious things to think about. He shall not fail in all that He has done. He shall not fail in what He is doing now. And He shall not fail in what He will yet do. He hasn't failed in all that He has done. He will not fail in all that He's doing now. And He will not fail in that which He has yet to do. Shall not fail. What has He done? Isaiah is looking into the future about the coming of the Messiah, and says He shall not fail. We, looking back to the past and say of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He did not fail, could not fail. He has not failed to do several things. Christ did not fail to fulfill all Scripture. Every type and picture found in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ honored it and fulfilled every type, every picture, every promise the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled completely, totally. Our Lord says this. Let me read it to you in Luke 24. This is the risen Lord speaking to his apostles. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalm concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. The Lord has fulfilled all things. The law of God has said, the prophets have declared, and what David wrote about. He fulfilled all things for us. He is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. Christ our sacrifice is Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He's a fulfillment of that brazen serpent lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. He's a fulfillment of that smitten rock in the wilderness that was smitten and the water came out. The Lord Jesus Christ was smitten for our sin, bruised for our iniquity, and with his stripes we are healed. Every prophecy concerning his death, the time, the manner, the circumstances were all written in the Old Testament. And in his coming, his living, and his dying, in his resurrection and ascension, he did not fail to accomplish all things for us, recorded in the word of the Lord according to God's decrees and his eternal purpose. Remember from 1 Corinthians 15, how Paul said how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, how he was buried according to the scripture, and how he's risen again on the third day according to the scripture. So the Lord Jesus Christ did not fail to fulfill all scripture promises given to him. Secondly, Christ did not fail to satisfy God's holy law and righteous justice. I love this verse in Isaiah 42. Look at it. There you have it in your lap. Isaiah 42, look at verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. For whose righteousness' sake? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. For his righteousness' sake, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. The law of God had a claim against God's people. Guilty. The law says we're guilty, guilty, guilty. The Lord Jesus Christ came and took our sin, satisfying God's law and justice for us. Our Lord said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to honor the law of God. In his life, he obeyed every precept of God's law, and he imputes his obedience to us as righteousness before God. And in his death, he satisfied the penalty of that law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Thirdly, on this point, the Lord Jesus Christ did not fail to make complete, definite atonement for the sin of those elect, those chosen. His atonement was complete, satisfying sacrifice unto God for the sin of his people. Right over here in Isaiah 53, if you want to turn and read it with me. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Call his name Jesus, the angel said. He shall save his people from their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ made complete, definite, particular atonement for the sin of his people. Not an attempt, but a complete, satisfying sacrifice, satisfying unto God. How satisfying and complete is the atonement, the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ? So much so that God said, their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. To say or imply that Christ died for all the sins of all men, yet some men might end up in hell anyway, makes the atonement of Christ a failure. God will not allow a failed atonement, only a successful one. Failure is not an option. I'm saying the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the elect. We are chosen in Him. And He took all our sin, the sin of God's people, laid upon Him, and He fully put their sin away. Not all the sins of all men. The Lord didn't die to make salvation a possibility. The Lord died to make salvation an absolute certainty for those for whom He died. How complete and effectual is that blood atonement of Christ? God said, their sin and their iniquity I will remember no more. So we have a successful atonement in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it is finished. The Lord Jesus Christ did not fail to put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. That's our hope of salvation, is it not? Christ did not fail to bring in an everlasting, justifying righteousness for His people. And then He freely imputes that unto them. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. On the fifth point on this thought, Christ did not fail to crush, defeat all our enemies. Sin put away, Satan defeated. Our Lord said, I'm a he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Satisfied the law of God that was against us, that was contrary to us. Let me read this to you, Colossians chapter 2. Don't turn, let me just read it to you. And you, being dead in your sin, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them, openly triumphing over them Himself. By Himself, with Himself, He put away all our sin. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So Christ did not fail in all that God said He would accomplish. He accomplished righteousness. He brought in everlasting righteousness. He put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Secondly, Christ shall not fail in what He's doing now. What's He doing now? He is seated on the throne of glory, actively interceding for us as our mediator right now. Christ shall not fail to irresistibly, powerfully call out His elect from the four corners of the earth, and to make them new creatures in Christ. Look at Isaiah 43, just across the page. Isaiah 43, verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east, gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, I've created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. The Lord's going to call out His people out of darkness into His marvelous light. And He saves us and calls us by His purpose and by His grace. He's going to bring us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. That's those people, the elect. For a light of the Gentiles to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison's house. I am the Lord, that's my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to any graven image. We serve an absolute successful Savior. He cannot fail. And He will not fail to call out His people. Secondly, Christ shall not fail to meet the need of every sinner redeemed by His grace. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He meets every need we have because He is a successful Savior. Christ shall not fail to sustain our soul and keep us by His grace. He's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of God's glory with exceeding joy. He shall not fail to supply our need according to riches and glory. He shall not fail to sustain our soul and keep us by His grace. God saves us with an everlasting salvation. He saves us with an everlasting salvation. But Israel shall be saved, Isaiah 45:17. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. God doesn't save sinners by His grace and then one day lose them again. He saves them with an everlasting salvation. He says, I give my sheep eternal life and they'll never perish. You see, the Savior that we serve cannot fail to keep us, to supply our need. Fourthly, the Lord Jesus Christ shall not fail to comfort us in our time of need. Our Lord said, when the Comforter is come, when God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter is come, He will comfort you. What does God the Holy Spirit comfort us with? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, our Lord said, He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. He'll comfort us in our time of need. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Christ shall not fail to give us grace for every trial. He sends a trial in our life, in our heart, in our way. He sends a trial, and then He sends the grace for the trial. I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. I'm with you to the end of the earth. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Let me quit with this. The Lord Jesus Christ shall not fail in what He will yet do for His church. What He has done, what He is doing, and what He will yet do. He cannot fail. He will not fail to come again and receive us unto Himself. You remember our Lord said in John 14, I'll go away to prepare a place for you. If I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord is coming back. When is He coming back? I have no idea. But He said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking. We're looking. He shall not fail to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I want you to read this with me. I was looking at this earlier today and it just blessed me. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. All the environmental people in our day are all up in arms over global warming, climate change, all these different things. Well, preacher, do you believe in global warming? Nope, I sure don't. I believe in global burning. He's going to burn it up. 2 Peter 3. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. He shall not fail. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation, godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of our God, when the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He shall not fail to make all things new. You know what says that in Isaiah 65 also? Isaiah 65, look at verse 17. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He shall not fail to come again. He shall not fail to make a new heaven and a new earth. And He shall not fail to make all His elect who are redeemed by His blood, justified by His grace, He shall not fail to make them just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to populate this new heaven and the new earth with a people just like himself. Turn to Romans chapter 8. That's what predestination is all about. It's about God electing a people and then predestinating them to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Every believer wants to be predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. He shall not fail to call his people. Whom he called, them he also justified. He shall not fail to justify his people. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. He cannot fail. Notice that's all past tense. Called, justified, glorified. Already done. Already. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge? There's those elect again. You can't get away from that in the gospel. God's elect, his chosen. Thanks be to God who's given us all things in Christ. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He shall not fail. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. The God we serve, who is God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he cannot fail. Look at verse 4 again. Isaiah 42, verse 4. He shall not fail. I love that. We serve an absolute, successful, victorious Lord God.